It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The finished conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
He can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 79 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, November 8th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about whistles, shutouts, and patriotism. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Evening.
How was you guys' week? Good? Bad? Indifferent?
Yeah.
I'm one of all of the above.
All of the above?
All of the above. I don't think it was bad. I think it was more so indifferent.
I mean, it's Minnesota, and it was in the 60s for a majority of the week.
Okay, so that's good.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my third catastrophe to come, because we know, bad things come in threes.
What happened to you?
Well, last week it was the starter on my car.
Oof.
This week it's the furnace. What's next?
Don't go out on a plane anytime soon, is all I'm saying. All
right.
Stay away from sharp objects.
Will do.
You did have the sharp object incident with your head a couple of weeks back.
Well, yeah, that was...
Or was that is that out of the time frame realm?
I think that might be out of the time frame. That's well healed up by now. So.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to wrap you in bubble wrap. Right. Make sure you're safe from any injurious things happening.
So if we have two in the box next week.
Where's the third?
Who knows what happened to it? We'll
pray for him.
Come on, Norster Kenius.
Tell
me what's going to happen to me.
It comes in spurts, and when it hits... It's like spot on, but
that's what she said.
You just got to wait for it to happen.
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Yeah.
Well, before we get into things here, we just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box, and let's talk hockey. So the Wild go 1-1 on the week, losing a nail biter against the Purds.
Purds.
3-2. And then they earned Dubnyk his second shutout of the season on Saturday, went with a 1-0 win over the Lightning.
Man, that game.
I'm just saying, we shouldn't call them the Purds. We should call them the Preds, because, I think a To Catch a Predator type stuff.
Well, and they got Jackman now, and Jackman looks like a sexual predator. So.
To Catch a Predator?
Yeah.
Catch a Predator.
I'm going to go catch me a Predator.
I think that should be our next hashtag when we're...
Catch a Predator?
Yeah, when we're playing the Preds. Catch a Predator.
With a picture of Jackman's face.
And Chris Hansen walking into the room.
We do know a Chris Hansen. A legit Chris Hansen.
We do. Well, anyway,
there's probably only one or two of those in the world.
just a few.
Yeah, it's not like a John Smith or anything like that, right?
No.
Anyway, Dubnyk played great last night with the win, and it was sort of the shutdown goal that we came to expect last season. But the big talk is the terrible officiating from that Thursday night loss, in what turned out to be the game-winning goal. The refs took their precious time in blowing the puck dead when it was sitting in Dubnyk's gear, only to have it pop out enough for Hodgson to pick it up and bury it. So, with that, how much of the fault on this lies with the refs, and how much of it lies on Dubnyk for not being patient and waiting for the whistle?
Well, the following game, he was obviously very patient in waiting for whistles. But I'm going to, yes, you can put fault on the ref, but it was an ugly play prior to that led up to them even getting the opportunity to shoot on, which I think Yo had alluded to, that kind of pissed him off more than the actual non-call by the referee.
Right.
I guess, technically speaking, yeah, he should have waited for the whistle before he moved. That's just kind of the play goes on until the whistle's blown. I mean, right. there is that, but it was an awfully, awfully slow whistle, and obviously the puck was trapped in his equipment and did not drop out until he moved, expecting a whistle. I don't know.
Well, that and coupled with, you know, how quick the whistles were on the other side of the ice.
Different referee.
Right, but you need that consistency there, otherwise...
Well, I think we had O'Halloran on our end.
Was that
the other game? Am I getting them mixed up?
Yeah, that was the St. Louis game. Or not St. Louis, the Lightning game.
The Lightning game.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you would like to see some consistency. I mean, because we saw it a few times then, you know, like you said, where on the other side, it was some very quick whistles, one of which where the puck wasn't even was it Rene?
Yeah.
No, yeah, Rene's vicinity. It was still getting kicked around and they had a whistle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I think, can you look at it as being unfair? Absolutely. Can you necessarily fault them for it? I mean, I'd say the blame goes 50-50 on that one.
That's play doesn't stop till the whistle blows. If the ref blows the whistle early, you know, that's obviously on the ref, but, you know, that's part of the game. There's also,
well, don't they need to be consistent though? I mean,
they should,
even though there's two men, you know,
they should be consistent.
You expect your offsides calls to be consistent,
They don't play three blind mice at the stadium for no reason. Right. But you know, I mean, it's going to happen, and it happens to other teams as well, just as it'll happen to ours. And you got to be able to overcome that stuff. And I mean, the puck took an unfortunate bounce there, basically for Dubes when it fell out of his padding. But
my other thought on that too is, I mean, the referee should have blown that whistle down when he lost sight of the puck, and how he managed to maintain sight of that when it was trapped obviously in Dubnyk's gear is kind of beyond me.
X-ray vision
through both sets of pads on both legs. And
goalies need to start tucking their jerseys, you know.
No.
Or wearing lead vests.
Yeah, or magnets. Oh, wait, that doesn't work with rubber, does it?
Well, could start putting metal flakes inside of the puck. Mm. You know, they were talking about that new tracking technology in there again, back to the not quite the Fox
track.
Not quite the Fox track, but to instrumentation inside the pucks, you know, as far as like velocity and positioning. So,
but I think that was more on the injury side and being able to gauge that sort of stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Not for the consumer or the television watcher to be able to track the puck better, but for them to track different statistics. You know, the other thing with that, and I don't know, Aaron, if you had brought this up, but Dubnyk had new pads that night, too.
He did, yeah.
Which, you know, potentially a factor where he just didn't feel the puck where it was at. It still doesn't... I don't know. I think it's still a screwed up situation that it was obviously a very late whistle.
Well, and it's good that you bring up the pads, because I got to point out one thing, and this is just me being a nerd about design. I got to say, the red on his pads does not look like the Wild red. It's some sort of weird pinkish red, and I don't like it.
You don't think he's got like branding guidelines where he's got to have certain colors?
But honestly, actually, that's a good point, because I don't know if you ever noticed, but, you know, the players all wear different helmets. You know, some might have a CCM or
same thing with gloves and razors, too.
But sometimes you even notice it with, like, the helmets, where they're
just a tinge different.
Just a tinge different. Yep. But his pads look like they went off way off left field, you know, and it's like, it's almost pink. It's just weird.
Apparently, Coho or whoever he got his pads from had a bad batch of red.
Either that, or he got them on special after breast cancer awareness month was over, right?
Yeah, we just threw a little red, darker dye on top of the pink. Yeah. So it'll be fine.
Someone doesn't know how to read a Pantone chart is probably what it is. So,
that was definitely geeked out.
That totally was. Even though you know, Dubnyk had a pretty good game against the Purds, and bad whistle notwithstanding, was that mental mistake. It was almost a mental mistake. I think that's fair. Was that the wake-up call he needed to keep his head in the game and give us, you know, the Dubes of old?
I don't know. I think his game against the Predators, I think that he performed well there. I mean, I definitely think that he performed well enough for the Wild to come away with a victory. We obviously need a little bit more offense and to take better to capitalize on our chances that we do get. From a defensive standpoint, I mean, sometimes you're going to have to, bail your goalie out if we let in three goals in a night. I mean, three goals isn't great, but it shouldn't be unsurmountable.
Right.
But that said, he was on fire against the Lightning. I mean, this way and that way, sticking a pad out here. I mean, he was...
He just seemed more in the game. Like, definitely. His head was in the game on Saturday.
So, maybe it did, Maybe it did give him a little bit of a push, this can't happen like this, but...
Not counting that goal, which was obviously a bad goal. I mean, he had it, like you said, he had a very solid game.
Yeah.
There was also a very similar chance at the beginning of the game that Spurgeon bailed him out on.
Yeah.
That had trickled underneath him, and Spurgeon came in barely in time.
And saved that one.
And saved it. But,
a puck trickling in, that's,
It
he's still getting a piece of it. I mean, that's...
Right.
And
this is going to kind of, Aaron, lead up to your next topic, but I have noticed as of last year, too, that Dubnyk always seemed to play a lot better for some reason when we had some injuries happening. Like, almost like he had to captain the team and anchor it, going, okay, we don't quite have these guys, so I got to make up for it somehow.
Well, speaking of injuries, we had a bunch of injuries this week. Obviously, the biggest news is that Parisi is now day-to-day with sprained MCL after he took a cheap knee-on-knee hit from James Neal.
Neal was just freaking atrocious all game long.
And, well, there isn't a timetable for his return. Speculation is that he'll be out a few games, and it shouldn't be a week-to-week situation. He should be back sooner than later. He did come back during the game and then left again.
He came back
after that initial hit.
He actually came back for his shift following his injury.
Yep, he didn't miss a shift, but then missed the remainder of the game.
He went out, I think, like really close to the end of the period.
Yep. Also injured in that Perds game was Nate Prosser, who took a cross check from James Neal, and is now day to day with a back injury. Top all that off, we got some more information on the Fontaine and Graevac injuries, with Fontaine being out 4 to 6 weeks, also with an MCL sprain, but apparently a little more serious than what Parisi has, and Graevac undergoing surgery for a hernia that will some muscle repair that will keep him out for about 6 weeks.
Ouch.
So, first off, James Neal, piece of work or not?
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
to say the least,
he was taking liberties with who else? There was like a third time in there where he actually got penalized for, though.
He was just to call him a menace would be
too much
nice,
credit.
Tucker, competitive violence. That's why you're here.
He was just basically being a
the spoiled brat, it almost seemed like.
Right. I mean, he won't stand up when people are challenging him because he's running around causing all this havoc. But if someone wants to go take him on, he's like, he turtles and like, I don't know. I mean,
I don't think I've ever really had a set opinion on Neal prior to this past week's game. And
we didn't get to see him a bunch because he played for the Penguins.
He was with the Penguins, right?
Right.
But
Penguins or Boston?
Penguins.
Penguins.
Penguins before. One of those black and yellow teams.
Yeah, yeah. One of them.
From
the
East. Yeah.
But I'm putting them very close to that Avery category right now after seeing his play the other night, which is really, trying to cause whatever ruckus he can, but not just doing it like Chippy, actually.
It was with Carter, and he got 2 minutes for roughing when he was with Carter.
Right, okay, that's what it was. Yep. But, not just throwing some extra or delayed hits, but some actual, almost seem more malicious type hits.
They weren't hockey plays. They were, they just weren't.
Which is something that I would expect from like a Sean Avery-style player.
I mean, you could definitely see on the replays of where he hit Parisi that he's leading with his knee, basically when he was coming in to hit Parise.
Yeah.
And there was no repercussion for that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I know part of it is kind of a hockey move, you know, to skate, but it looks like his knee was, to me, looks like it was a little bit more extended than necessary. So,
well, and he was the second man in on Parise, so it was like he didn't need to do anything to him. He just needed to go for the puck.
Right, go for the puck or tie him up, whatever, you know. It wasn't a, yeah.
Take him off for a few games. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's all the same, right?
That helps too.
Divisional opponent, I guess, you know, so can't hurt.
Well, I'm glad we'll get to see a little bit more of them. Hopefully we can get...
we got, what, 3 more games against the Perds?
The Perds, yeah. Hopefully we can get somebody that can step up to his antics and straighten him out a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, so you keep saying, we keep talking about not needing an enforcer.
I don't think an enforcer is necessarily it. You just need somebody. Actually, it's somebody...
Yeah, because Carter tried to step up to him.
And, yeah.
And Neil's like... Ooh.
Right, sure.
You know, now that Carter's... right. If there was a guy he probably could have, taken, it would have been Carter, and he won't even... You know, maybe he was waiting for a Spurgeon to, challenge him or something.
Well, I think we just need to have Coyle lay a hit on him like he laid on... who was it that game that he took out?
Oh, Yarncroke or whatever.
Yeah, with that shoulder on... Well, it was a clean hit. It was a
clean hit, but it was...
is pretty massive. I mean, Coyle's got some mass to him, so I think he just needs to do something like that to Neil. You know, clean his clock a little bit, knock the wind out of him, and settle him down.
So, you know, with, Parise going out, the Wild called up Christoph Berchi. He played last night, and he seemed all right. I mean, he wasn't, he was in the play and involved, but,
He had some shots on goal.
He had some shots, but they were also...
They're dead-on shots.
They're dead-on shots. I mean... They probably wouldn't get past an AHL goalie, let alone an NHL goalie.
Possibly Kemper.
Probably Backstrom. I don't even know if they would get past Kemper, because they're pretty straight-on shots. Apparently the Wild are running pretty thin in Iowa. Karenin's hurt, and he would have been probably one of the first call-ups, if he had been healthy. So, I was thinking maybe the Wild need to think outside the box a little. So hear me out. What do you think about, instead of calling up Berchi, who, he hasn't been exactly beating down the door and out to get to the big show. How about Yo and Fletcher, instead of moving, take like a D-man like Dumba and move him to a forward spot while Parise recovers and bring Follin in to fill that another spot there?
Well, we've seen that happen with the Wild before. Burns ended up coming up to play forward when there was a lot of forward injuries back in. That would have been a while ago.
In my day.
I want to say the Lemaire era.
Right.
Right before he got traded or went, traded to San Jose. But, so we've seen it done with Burns. It's not necessarily the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with, I think part of the problem is you're changing how a D plays the game too. So I mean, you got to have not just an offensive minded D, but a D who can stay, fairly offensive minded. I mean, not that they're
I think if there's any D man that can, Dumba would be that Dumba, guy.
I think Spurgeon would probably.
I'd keep Spurgeon on back on Scandella though. Yeah. Would be another one I think could. He's replaced Parise's spot on the power play.
He did.
And scored a goal.
Yeah.
So he really did replace Parise's spot on the power play.
Right.
Yeah. I guess, I won't call you super crazy for saying that. I mean, that's not the worst idea that I've ever heard. I mean, we've seen it with Bafuglin, Bafugler. Yeah, I mean, he's shifted around. There's, and these guys coming up through all the ranks, it's not like they haven't ever played another position. They might feel at home at the defensive position, but that doesn't mean that you can't get them to perform elsewhere on the ice. And I think that a lot of our defensemen are good skaters as well. aside from our Strider Suter.
Yeah, I don't think we could put Suter up at a forward position. Well,
you probably could, but I don't know. It just always looks like he's striding, but maybe he's just got long legs.
Well, you know, my thought process is if Graev acts out and he would be, you know, and Shredder's already up, and Karenin's out, we do have a top D-man sitting in Iowa, and that's Riley. You know,
that's another truth.
You know, he can slot into Dumba's spot, or Follin will go to Dumba's, and Riley takes up that last pairing on the D-line, you know, or Scandella or whoever. And it's not like Dumba's such a big defenseman that he's going to be blocking a lot of shots with his body, and he plays a little more aggressively anyway, you know?
Yeah.
I don't remember which one of you two just mentioned it, but Scandella, though, I would maybe put up there before Dumba.
Okay.
I think he's got just a little bit more speed. Dumba's got a great shot, but he hasn't been taking it lately. You know, we saw last year that just killer.
Except he did score a goal against the Purds.
So. He did. But he's not making use of that slap shot that we saw, you know, towards the end of last year.
Well, and as a forward, you know, more times than not, you're going to be taking a wrist shot, you know, or a snap shot.
Right.
So, as compared to I mean, if it's going to happen. No,
and I can see Scandella because he's also a bigger body. He can get up
in front of the net there where we're going to be missing Parisi. I mean, that's. Right. I mean, he gets to that dirty area and he works magic around there, you know?
Oh, no doubt.
Well, so. Let's hopefully we see some Nostra Aaron on this one.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that. The big thing though is it might help protect the Wild's cap issues.
This is another issue
because they brought up Birchie and they had to send him right back to, you know, save money. So
it sounds like there's quite a few teams that are in this predicament though. So it's not like the Wild are in a unique position.
A lot of teams were expecting the cap to move up because of the weak Canadian dollar. The cap didn't move up, and a lot of teams are pinching. You know?
You have that, and I mean, there's also been quite a few, like, pretty top players getting injured early on also.
Yeah, this is true.
So, I mean, you got guys with that have a pretty big cap hit that now are sitting on IR week to week, day to day.
Honestly, the size of the cap hit doesn't matter. If you got no cap space, you know, you could lose a couple bottom rung guys, and that's going to hurt you just as much. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So... well, somebody who the Wild haven't lost is Coach Sador. He made his return this week to the Wild. He did serve a short jail sentence, and he's, you know, been in rehab. But he's made his way back to the Wild now. And basically when he spoke, he was thankful for all the support that he's been given. And he said that he doesn't want to let that one day basically define who he is. So here he is. He's back. You know, we all make mistakes. You know, some mistakes are bigger than others.
You do? I don't make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
I've made a ton of them. Surprised I'm still here. So, but I mean, do you guys believe that, you know, do you believe that Sador was, you know, punished fairly, or, you know, that he's had a chance to actually, you know, be, you know, sorry for what he did do,
well, without going down the road of whether we think the DUI penalties are just in this country,
yeah,
without going down that rabbit hole, I think he was punished to what his peers in the American public would be punished. So I think he's been,
yeah. If you're asking if there's special treatment, I don't think so. I think he got sentenced just like anybody else.
Yeah, if you think he should have been sentenced more, well, then that's a law discussion. It's not, you know, really a discussion about Sador himself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, well, what impact do you guys think, if any, that this has had on the Wild's reputation then? I mean, do you think this is going to leave a black mark, you know, welcoming him back into the organization, or do you think it's going to show that, you know, the Wild are a good, compassionate organization, and and work with their staff and players.
Well, you know, the American public loves a person who apologizes and asks for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If anything, it just shows that the Wild, you know, they believe in people, and even if they, you know, take a misstep, that they'll be there to, you know, be there and hopefully see them get better.
Yeah. You know?
I don't think it, yeah, I don't see a black mark on this. You know, the one thing that the NHL has been talking about in recent years a lot more has been their rehab programs for chemical dependency, alcohol dependency, what have you, for players that are still playing or retired or former players, just with a lot of the deaths that have yeah. circled former hockey players.
We remember back to Bugard. I mean, that's... That was a big.
Picked the wrong week, quit sniffing glue.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, you know,
I'd say it too soon, but it's too late. Actually, that was a bad joke.
Wow,
I'm sorry, that was a bad joke.
You know, I think the Wild obviously hold him in it, you know, as family, because I mean they were one of the few teams that had. That additional assistant coach on the bench, so it's not like it was required or they're filling a complete void,
right?
So I think it's what they wanted to do. I don't see, you know, I don't think it's just any type of publicity stunt. I think it's good.
I think it's good
for the NHL too.
Really, I think I mean, initially when the story broke, there was the shock value of it. So media was, you know, as they are, they're always all over that stuff, regardless of who it's hurting or anything like that. But, I mean, in the end, I think the Wild, you know, made a good move here as far as an organization, you know, and welcoming him back and supporting him.
Well, and I mean, looking at it, I mean, other than the fact that he's a public figure, but I mean, he's a assistant coach on an NHL team, so that means like maybe 8% of the U.S. even knows who he is.
That might be a little high.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. He's not the only person to get a DUI in the country and retain his job as is.
Right.
You know, obviously he can continue working. He can continue doing his job.
Yep.
You know, unless you're, I think the last. Public figure that got fired for a DUI was that anchor lady out in California who was, I think she had something about her just doing a report on it and then got pulled over for it and blew like almost a .3.
So what do you have to say then for the Taco Bell worker who, because he beats up an Uber guy when he's drunk, he lost his job now too?
Well,
should Taco Bell be welcoming him back?
Well, did him getting arrested for beating up an Uber driver because he was in drunk impaired his abilities to get to work?
I don't think it did.
Okay. Well, then.
Unless he was supposed to be working the late night drive through that night, I'm not sure.
Yeah. But how many Stanley Cups has that guy won?
Oh, so now it comes a status thing.
Well, I mean, look at our buddy Healy. I mean, that was just a bit more than a DUI. That was, you know, vehicular manslaughter.
Well, and it's also how much does that company put into that person?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the whole sunk cost, and do they want to cut bait with them because of one accident when they've got, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars into a person? Taco Bell, they've got, you know, 20 grand into a person, you know, if that.
But he did nothing against Taco Bell. Nobody probably even knew he was a Taco Bell worker until they fired him.
Somebody was like, I go to Taco Bell, bitch, and punched him in the back of the head or whatever.
Well, you know, my guess with that is
Taco Bell Mafia. Ooh.
He was probably sitting in jail for a few days and missed some shifts, so unexcused absences.
May that's it. So anyways.
All right. Well,
let's talk about paying other people.
So, you guys have all seen the Wild support the troops and the troops honored at the games.
Repelling from the roofs.
Repelling from the roofs, you know, that type of stuff. Did you know that?
Did you guys see the parachuters at the the last Wild game?
They had parachuters?
Oh, they didn't make it through.
Oh, are they spots on the roof right now? Well, do you know that's not all just, you know, out of the good faith of the Wild to support the troops?
Really?
Really. So there was a recent article in the Duluth News Tribune via the Washington Post pointed out that the Wild, with the Vikings and the Lynx, as far as Minnesota teams go, have been getting paid contracts from the National Guard for such things as on-ice appreciation of soldiers, ceremonial puck drops from the soldiers after rappelling from the catwalks above the ice. The article cites information from a report authored by U.S. Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake, in which they call it, in quotes, paid patriotism. The Pentagon says it is being used as a sports marketing tool for recruitment. You know, nice little spin on it, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, I see...
It's advertising funds.
Right. It's like, I see the guy drop a puck on the ice and go, I should join the Army because I want to be able to drop a puck on the ice.
Well, maybe just repel from the catwalk, but, you know, hey, you can be a roadie and do that with the riggers.
What kind of weird logic jumps do you have to take to go, if I join the Army, I can get on ice for a Wild game?
So... This report covers contracts spanning the past 4 years. 9 out of the 10 top paid teams have been from the NFL. The other in that is the Wild, coming in at the fourth highest paid team contracted by the National Guard.
Oof.
So I'm guessing part of it with the NFL teams is the fact that, you know, they've got
a huge viewership.
I mean, huge viewership. And I mean, per game, you're looking at 40, 50, 60 plus thousand people in attendance.
Yeah. And plus, you know, millions watching at home.
Exactly. Yeah. So a quote from the article, the NFL told teams in July to halt paid tributes, and Commissioner Roger Goodell of the NFL said in a letter to McFain and Flake dated Tuesday and included in the report that the league is auditing its contracts with the military and finds... Oh, man, my page is skipping on me here. Crap. Basically, we'll make the teams repay anything that has come from it.
Sure.
In full. So with that, not knowing that a lot, or now knowing that a lot, if not all, these soldier appreciation nights were because of contracts, you know, how has this changed your opinion of the Wild organization's patriotic or supposed patriotic view?
Well, it's kind of all of a farce, isn't it? And this, from what I understand, this doesn't cover like the Defending the Blue Line charities that are, you know, actually charitable,
right,
you know, endeavors that the players themselves are going out to support. And honestly, it kind of cheapens those sort of goodwill efforts, you know.
I think that happens, you know, with any kind of charity when it's, you know, brought front and center, you know, that they're just not dealing well with their funds. I mean, it can leave a bad mark across all charities, really, because, you know, people like to share, and people like to donate to causes, and they like to help people out, most people.
Right.
But I think that sometimes they can be turned away from that if they, you know, think that what they're doing isn't even what they're spending their money towards isn't something legitimate.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I mean, I've always been a, you know, might not support the war, but the troops, the guys with their boots on the ground, I mean, we've know people that have been over there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, supporting the troops is, you know, a high thing in my book. Like, you know, support those guys that are going over there so I don't have to, so I can sit here and banter on a podcast with you two clowns.
What if I supported the war but don't support the troops?
You know, we might have an issue there.
I'm just kidding. I don't want any hate mail for this one.
But yeah, Aaron, like you said, I mean, it does seem like it could kind of cheapen some of the actual legitimate causes that the players are for right now. Same thing, and we're pre-show, we were talking about different charities and whatnot on a random topic.
Right.
But with the NFL, it also goes back to something like what Jared Allen is doing with his Homes for Wounded Warriors. You know, how is that going to reflect upon something like that, or defending the blue line, or any of these causes? I mean, right. We've seen Brent Burns in particular have a yep. huge, huge respect for the troops and has gone out of his way for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's kind of a crappy situation for some of those other actual charities.
Right, right.
Where this was a marketing ploy, essentially.
Yeah.
So now, do you guys agree with the NFL auditing the teams and received revenue? And what actions, if any, will the NHL take?
Well, now that the scrutiny has been placed on it by the Senate, I got to imagine that fund well is probably going to be dried out a little bit.
It will be drying up, yeah.
So now we're going to, instead of seeing soldiers rappelling from the roof, we're going to see Red Baron pizzas rappelling from the roof.
Ooh, pizza.
Or Red Wing shoes or, you know, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Go from troops to a Nazi figure from the ceiling.
I didn't even think about that. The Red Baron.
Or actually, he's
pre-Nazi.
I was onto the Red Wing boots.
I was like, that's what I'm like, wow, I didn't know Red Wing had a Nazi right. connection.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know those Minnesotans.
Well, you know what Nazi, the word Nazi means in German, right? Red Wing. No, I'm just kidding.
So for all of you that missed that second part, he was just kidding. Do not start posting about Nazi meaning Red Wing.
All right. Wow.
So do you think the NHL is going to do something about this? I mean,
I don't think they will.
Do you see any other teams really? I could see maybe like some of the other teams that are selling out all the games.
It's happening all over this month. I mean, you've got Veterans Day coming up here on Wednesday. November 11th. Yeah. So, I mean, and basically, the NHL or the NFL, you know, any of these leagues, they're going to capitalize on that stuff too, because it makes them look
patriotic. Better
or patriotic, yes. And so, I mean, really, I don't see that, you know, the NHL would want to see that stuff go away. You know, whether they step in and say, you know, future transactions like this can occur. I mean, when I go to a game and I see, you know, Corporal General so-and-so step out onto the field or onto the ice, I'd like to know that that's like a genuine, hey, we invited this guy here because, you know, he's one of ours, you know.
Well, this report, so, you know, you said stepping out onto the field. Because the Twins have had troops out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say for sure about the Timberwolves because, I mean, it's basketball.
They've taken money, according to the report.
Well,
so.
No, this report does not mention paid tributes from the Twins or the Timberwolves. The Lynx took money, though.
Oh, I'd
Timberwolves and Lynx are one and the same, I believe.
Yeah, I'd seen that the Wolves took like $20,000 or something. It was something paltry compared to what the Wild had earned.
The Lynx,
well, that's
the Lynx took $27,000 in a deal in 2014.
Okay.
The Twins and Timberwolves, the report did not mention anything.
And so does this include those, like, you know, like the guys who just like come out onto the, because I was actually at the Timberwolves opener, you know, switching sides, but I, you know, got to see the Flip tribute and everything last Monday.
Nice.
At the Timberwolves opener there. But I mean, they did, and they welcome a guy out there. He's got his, you know, full uniform on. He's looking sharp. He is a ex-Marine, and or not an ex-Marine, current Marine, sorry. And, you know, I mean, do you want to?
Well, I mean, and when this report came out to last week, I'm, you know, for all we know, that the Timberwolves could have started on contracts this year with them.
Yeah, right. Because this is old.
Yeah.
Well, that's my. But I'm wondering, like, does that include those guys that like just come out there and say hello at halftime?
Everything's up for grabs now. I mean, you don't know that. You know, everything's suspicious at this point.
Right.
And yeah, because this report specifically was talking about the National Guard.
Okay.
You know, an active Marine is going to be different than...
Oh, well, when you call them out on a weeknight, yeah, you got to pay them. Because usually they're only paid for the weekends, right?
In the National Guard. Yeah. Well, one week in the month and yeah. 2 weeks a year.
2 weeks a year, yeah. That's right.
So, you know, hey, maybe they're on their 2 weeks of active service.
Depends where it falls on their calendar, right?
I mean, the Wild did take a good chunk of money, though, over the past 2 years. It was over a half a mil. I mean, that's a lot of advertising revenue.
Yeah.
So, and which basically, looking at this, it is an advertising ploy, so which this article does say that part of this does also, some of that money does also come into signage and advertising.
Yeah.
So I think, is there a National Guard on the Dashers? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
There could very well be, or, you know, just general right. commercial advertising, I'm guessing, also. Although that might be a Fox Sports thing. So, I mean, I'm guessing that this budget would come out of that marketing campaign.
But you just even said another thing there. I mean, you're talking about Fox Sports or, you know, NBC, any of these national broadcasts. Yeah. You think they give up that airtime for free or donate
it? Oh, absolutely not. I mean, it's being paid for.
Right.
So this could potentially just be another form of marketing. Is there something so wrong with that?
Well, I'm paying to
we're going in circles.
I'm paying to go to the game. I'm paying my taxes to pay for the advertisement at the game. Can I just skip the advertisement and not pay the taxes?
Where's ad block for real life?
Well, apparently now, I mean, now we do realize it is just an advertisement and not just a, hey, we're supporting these guys. So are you going to look at it that way? No, as seeing these guys as just a walking advertisement?
Well, honestly, I'd rather they just drop the puck closer to 7 o'clock rather than wait until 7:07. Because that's 7 minutes, you know, times 82 games plus that I have to wait for hockey.
At least baseball has their start time at 6:08. Yeah, but
then they do God Bless America right after Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and then they do Star Spangled Band at the start of the game where they have some guy playing guitar thinking he's Jimi frickin' Hendrix, and I'm just tired of it.
Tell us how you really feel.
I am tired of it.
You just want your money's worth, and...
I you know, if
I paid for 60 minutes of hockey, I don't want to be here for 76 minutes.
You know, if I want to feel patriotic, I'll, you know, do my part to do that. I don't need to be forced into it or cajoled into it in some sort of jingoistic plan.
That's advertising, though. You're driving down the highway because you don't want to see a billboard. Do you think they should burn them all? Well, I mean, I do, but...
Have you ever driven through, like, upstate New York? They've got no billboards. It's freaking beautiful.
Oh, I bet.
Really?
Yeah, and they're
on
the throughway.
No pro-abortion or no, pro-life.
Yeah, no, I have my daddy's eyes.
Yeah.
Like some zombie baby.
Right. Oh, so you guys have been through Iowa lately.
Yes, God answers Nemail according to the signs I've written.
That was Bemidji. And that wasn't that on the hotel or was that on the...
I don't remember.
Deliver my liver.
Deliver my liver.
I'm just tired of advertisement in general, and I'm tired about all this other crap they want to put into a... You know, I don't care about the Chipotle burrito, giant burrito that they got where they're answering trivia. If you want to do trivia, great. I don't need to see the giant Chipotle burrito. I don't know why I'm ranting about Chipotle burrito.
I haven't seen this giant Chipotle burrito, but now you've got me interested.
He was like 3 feet long. And it was like a fake burrito that they would have to hold during the trivia segment at the X. It was stupid. It was the dumbest crap in the world.
Is this in between periods?
Or in a quick break, like a TV timeout or something like that. Yeah.
Or like the Tires Plus race. I don't know if they still do these.
Oh, yeah. That was at the Tires Dome.
Yeah.
That thing was awesome. See, why can't everybody
just... That was like sexy tire.
So do you hate going to Saints games too? I mean, because that's all their stuff is in between.
I'm not paying $80 for a Saints ticket.
This year you might have.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think even this year was that much. So
it was quite ridiculous and quite full.
Was it?
Yeah. They actually had standing room only tickets.
Wow.
But even so, I don't go to a Saints game for a different reason than I go to a Twins game or a Wild game. And some of it is the genuine entertaining stuff going on.
Yep.
you know,
Gert the Flirt out there.
Madonna.
Madonna, yeah.
Sister Rosalind or whatever. And
yeah, giving the massages.
Yeah.
And then they had...
Welcome to Three in the Dugout.
Well, then they had the Kardashian pigs or whatever.
Well, I didn't see those ones.
They're, yeah.
But anyway, I go to a Saints game for a different reason. I can tolerate the advertisement a little bit more. But when you're paying up $70 or more to go to a Wild game... And you find out you're also paying taxes to have them advertise. You're basically paying to be advertised yourself. That's just
right.
That's just gross.
It is. Well, just think of all the advertisement that goes on there, and you add that onto the premium that you pay to get in and to actually have one of those seats.
Right.
I mean, usually when you pay for something, like, I don't know. Look at, like, your mobile apps nowadays, you know? If you pay for something, you don't expect to see ads
right
all over your mobile apps and just...
This is why I won't pay for Hulu. Right. Because they play ads, and I'm not going to pay to see ads. That's ridiculous. Right. Then again, why do I pay for cable TV?
Well, you know...
Yeah, see?
Boom, wink.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. So, government, marketing, advertising.
Boo.
So
I don't know. I think we beat that horse.
Oh, but we could keep going because you just get me going on these advertisements. I'll rant, but I think we need to move on.
We're not an advertising podcast. Now, if somebody wants to advertise with us, we'd be more than happy to take out a sponsorship.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Even if you're a Predators fan, we'll take out the references to Catch a Predator if you sponsor our show. We totally will.
So, should we get into the upcoming, Kenny?
Yeah, I think so. So, three on the docket for this week. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So, a little bit kind of...
Yeah, we don't have the huge break for, you know, the Wild to think it's the off season.
Although, I mean, we got a couple of...
And no back-to-backs.
So, what do we have? A three-day break. We see the Jets here on Tuesday night. Thursday, we fly to the Canes,
Carolina.
Out to some East Coast, and then down south to Dallas against the Stars on Saturday.
That sounds like the Dallas Stars, that sounds like it'd be a good game of the week.
So, game of the week. Last week... We only had two games to choose from, so the choice was pretty, you know, it was 50-50, one way or another.
Slim pickings.
50-50, one way or another, and, you know, with that...
We had a choice of four possible winners, though.
True, but we only had two possible games.
Right.
And Jive, I think, picked the game, and he ended up going with Lightning versus the Wild. And we all overbid by a lot.
Yeah, we kind of really overshot our load.
I think we all picked the Wild, but I had 5 goals. Kenny had 7 goals. Jive had 8 goals, and obviously it was a 1-goal game.
Little did we know that, like, Dubnyk was just going to be out of his mind that night.
Well, and when we picked this, we had no idea Parise was going to be out.
Right. And Prosser.
Prosser,
yeah. He can score. Yeah. So with that, the standings remain unchanged. Kenny and I are tied for first with 3 points. Jive's got 2 in second or third, depending on how
we're 3-0.
Hey, not bad.
We haven't.
Are you bragging?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So with that, Jive gets to pick the game of the week yet again.
And like I said, I mean, the Wild at the Stars, I mean... You know, I still feel pain. So, and the Stars, I think they're playing.
They're pretty hot right now.
Pretty well so far this season. So, I definitely think it'll be a great matchup for the Wild, and should be an entertaining game. Who gets the first pick?
I think that's me this week.
Yeah, there you go.
So this week I'm gonna go with the Stars as much as it hurts me. Here's my reasoning: is the Wild is basically 500 on the road. Stars are, I think,
Stars, I think, only lost three games.
I think they're 5-1 at home. The one downside for the Stars is they've only had one divisional game this so far, and it was a loss. So
we've got a tough division.
We got a tough division, so maybe we'll be their second divisional loss. But I'm going with numbers. I'm not using my brain at all here. I'm going numbers purely.
Going with your heart.
Not going with my heart. Stars, I picked them to win, and 5 total goals.
All right. And, you know, Aaron, I think I have to agree with you. Stars, I mean, their goaltending's been pretty solid.
After getting the Emmy, I mean, he's fixed a lot of problems.
They won an Emmy?
A knee Emmy.
Okay. They
That's kind of what Parisi won from James Neal was a knee Emmy. Yeah.
You know, the other goaltending issue I think the Stars fix is now their net seems to stay on the stanchions a little bit better too, without that Turco factor.
Turco's been gone for a while, old man.
Back in my day,
back in my day,
Marty Turco, that bastard.
But yeah, Stars have been hot. They've been scoring a lot of goals in their games too. I got to kind of do the Price is Right thing to Aaron, and I got to go with 6 points though.
I was torn between 5 and 6. So.
I was thinking five.
We're gonna say that you should be going $1. If your own Price is Right.
$1. No, that's the $10,000. I'll go 10,001, please.
Oh, that's the one over.
That's okay. The one over.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So now you got to go $1.
I got to go $1. Well, since I need to knock you off your pedestal, your bragging pedestal about how you're 3-0, I'm just
gonna... No, we're 3 in the box.
Right. But I'm just going to have to let you know here, the Wild will win this game.
I hope you're right.
They will win for one reason. All right. The man, I think that he turned a corner there the other night against the Lightning. He's finding his groove. He's getting comfortable back there. And as long as that is not the night that they pick for Kemper to relieve him... The Wild will be winners in that game. It will still be a close game. I'm not denying that it's not going to be a tight matchup, but I think the Wild will win with a total of 5 goals.
Well, how do you feel about Dubnyk's all-time record against Dallas being 3-6-1?
Hey, that's just statistics, man.
I like
Dubs
that.
Is not just a statistic.
I like your thought process there.
Right. Yeah, because those wins should not equate to his goals against or save percentage.
Just like rules are made to be broken, statistics are made to be disproven.
Aaron, didn't we just hear something about how the Corsi's all jacked up this year due to like the Rangers or something like that?
Yeah, we were listening to something on NHL radio, and some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that, and
basically,
of course he was.
Oh my gosh!
All right, we gotta go.
Apparently, I gotta go be a dad, making all these dad jokes.
Well, okay, so I'm gonna cut it off right now. You know when
that's
I'm.
What she said,
oh, "This is not Lorena."
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything I'm doing at about.me/TheAaronKenny.
And yeah, I'm also on about.me, at about.me/IamKenny, KENNEY.
And yeah, if you want to follow me and figure out what I'm up to, I found this out now. I figured it out. I got it all set up. So
nice.
Go to about.me/JiveMidnight and you can find out all about me.
Sweet. So we're all about now.
We're all about something.
We're about boots.
We're about something.
Something. Yeah. Cool.
So all right, with that, see ya.
Hello.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.